I ask you, if you will, please turn with me to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 95. I'd like to speak this morning on the subject of worship. As we think about the purpose of worship, God calls His children to worship. He calls us into His presence. He calls us to give of ourselves unto Him. And if I could use a modern term concerning this, God is not an egomaniac. That is, He doesn't feed off us lifting Him up. But quite honestly, the opposite of that is true. We feed off of worship and praise. Worship and praise is for our benefit. It makes us more aware of who God is and what God has done in our lives, what He is doing on a daily basis in our lives, and what He's promised to do. In this 95th Psalm, we find the psalmist David calling us to praise God. So I want to start with verse 1, Psalm 95, verse 1, and read through the first part of verse 8. Verse 1 through 8a. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today, this day, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I bow before You. The blessings that You have bestowed, that You have freely given, go beyond anything that we could ever hope for or that we could even imagine. Your love is absolutely unconditional, and it's eternal. Every morning as we waken from sleep, we've been given a new day, a new set of blessings, a new reason to come before Your presence. Father, as I tried to study this psalm this week in my times of personal worship and praise, I felt Your presence with me. And just now I ask, Lord, if it would be Your will that You would allow me to share some of the things that You've shown to me from Your word, that we might be so close to You that we feel the touch of the Master's hand upon us. Guide us, direct us, even in this time of worship. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I believe that worship is a conscious effort on our part that we offer a part of us unto the Lord. When I say that we offer a part of us, I'm talking about the part that is our heart, the part that is the very focus of who we are, the core of our being, the core of everything that is good about us, that we offer it unto the Lord. As I read verse 1 this week, and as I thought about the action that takes place there, if I were to just bring that down into a shorter term, if I were to say, "Oh, come, let us sing. Oh, come, let us make a joyful noise." Does that constitute worship? Just coming to sing, just coming to make a joyful noise, is that worship in itself? It can be if the rest of that is under consideration. But if I just come to sing, if I just come to make my voice to be heard, it's not necessarily a form of worship. But when he says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." You see, I'm not singing to you. You're not singing to me. You're not singing to the one next to you in the pew or anybody else in the sanctuary. That's why it's important that when we come and the next phrase is make a joyful noise. And I often hear it said in jest, but I'm telling you, it's not in jest. Sometimes somebody says, "All I can do is make a joyful noise." That's okay as long as it's unto the Lord, it's worship. As long as it's unto the Lord, it's praise. But there is a joyful noise, there is a singing that we are to do in our hearts and our minds and with our voices. Now, I understand, and I always find myself doing a disclaimer with this. I understand that there are those that do not enjoy singing in public. I understand that. But whether it's in public or whether it's in the car singing along with the radio, in the shower, at home, wherever it might be, that you sing it unto the Lord. That you worship Him and you praise Him for who He is. And we'll see that in just a moment. It's not just a matter of coming and singing. It's a matter of coming and singing unto the Lord. And as we begin to open our hearts and begin to sing praises unto Him, and we forget about anything and everything and everyone else, it's just me and God as I'm offering a sacrifice of praise unto Him, there's something that begins to take place as we begin to praise Him. There's something that begins to take place as our hearts are open and we release the joy that's within us and we release the love that's within us. We release the thanksgiving that's within us. We release all the things that God has placed within us. We begin to work it out, as Paul says. We work it out and it comes out as praise unto the Lord. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the Rock of our salvation. Now the word sing there, again, I love looking up the meanings of the words, because sometimes I think of that word sing as just a la 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 that we do sometimes. But the word sing there means a song of triumph, a song of victory. You and I mean, we sing the song, and usually when we sing victory in Jesus, we sing it with everything that we have. But I'm telling you, every time that we sing unto the Lord, we should be singing with all of our mind, with all of our heart, everything within us, because we've been given victory through Jesus Christ. And our songs are the evidence, they're the outpouring of grace that's been placed within us. So it's a song of triumph, and we're making this joyful noise to the Rock of our salvation. To the Rock, to the one who is the stability of salvation, the one who is the strength of salvation. Throughout the Bible, it's written, even in the Old Testament, especially in the New Testament, that we're not saved by our works, but by the grace of God. So as we think about this, if we're not saved by our works, then what is the strength of our salvation? If it's not what I've done, then what is the strength of my salvation? If it's not who I am, then who is the strength of my salvation? Who is the one that I'm to make a joyful noise to? Well, you know Him and I know Him today as Jesus Christ. I'm not so sure that David knew Him by name, but he understood there was a stability in his life that only God could give. There was a deliverance in his life that only God could give. Have you ever experienced deliverance in your life? Have you ever experienced a time when you knew that you could not get your way out of that, and yet God brought you out? Let me go back even more fundamental than that. I I think I know the answer to this, but I'm just going to put it to make my point. Have you been born again? If so, there is the rock of your salvation. There is the strength of your salvation. There is the security of your salvation. There is the stability of your salvation. And we have every reason to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If I had no other reason than the fact that my God saved me through the blood of Jesus Christ, I would never be able to express gratitude enough for Him going to the cross on my behalf. Never would I be able to fulfill that joyful noise. It would never be enough to thank Him for what He's done for me. But David says, let's try it anyway. Let's give it a good try. Let's come into His presence and let's come singing. Let's come with the joyful noise that God is my God and Christ is my Savior. And without Him, I'm nothing. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Do you have anything to be thankful for today? Is there anything in your life that you can say, thank you, Lord? Can I tell you that when we offer our thanksgiving unto the Lord, there is something that we receive as a result of that? Do you remember the 10 lepers that came to Jesus? And Jesus healed all 10 of them. And He said to the 10, you go and show yourself to the priest. And when they left and they started walking toward the priest, there was one who turned around, came back to Jesus and thanked Him. Do you know that man received something that the other 9 did not receive? They all received healing. But to that one man, Jesus pronounced, thou art made whole. And there is a difference between being healed and being made whole. He received something. How did He receive it? Why did He receive it? Because He stopped and entered back into the presence of the Lord God Almighty in the form of Jesus Christ. And He said, thank you. There's something about being thankful that we receive as we offer the praise of thanksgiving. There's something that God gives to us in return, and that is you're just made complete, you're made whole, you're brought to a place where that you understand who has blessed you and who's the source of your blessings. And here again He says, and make a joyful noise. You know, it's a joyful noise of the Lord when we say, thank you, Lord. Just to say thank you is a joyful noise. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have blessed me with. Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive today. Thank you, Lord, that if you take me home today, I'll be alive with you in heaven tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. And as we begin to offer the thanksgiving, as we begin, we become more bold with what we're saying unto the Lord. If you only have, let me just put it this way. If you only have one thing, only one thing to be thankful for, just start repeating over and over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to see today. Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive today. Keep saying it over and over and over. You know what's going to happen? You're going to start thinking of other things that God has blessed you with, and your thanksgiving is going to be able to just be expanded in such a way. And the more thankful that you are, the closer you are to His presence. You see, what has happened here is this. He says, come. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Oh, come, to let us sing to the Lord. And as you begin to expand on that and you sing with thanksgiving and you make a joyful noise with thanksgiving, not only are we coming in verse 1, but verse 2, we're coming before His presence. You begin to draw closer to the Lord. And that's the need that every child of God has. I'm going to say it this way. It's the need that every person has, is a need for the Lord, a need to draw closer to the Lord. It's the need that you and I have this morning, is to come before His presence. And how do we get closer to Him? It just begins with the simple thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, that the nails pierced your hands for me. Thank you, Jesus, that the nails pierced your feet for me. Thank you, Jesus, that the spears pierced your side for me. Thank you, Jesus, you laid down your life for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you said, forgive them, Father. And that includes me. You see how it begins to open up and open up and open up. And then you begin to thank Him for all the blessings that He's given to you. Why do we do this? Why is it so important that we sing unto the Lord? Why is it so important that we make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Even if it did not do anything for us, verse 3 tells us why. Even if we got nothing out of it, we are to praise Him, we're to worship Him, and it's to be a conscious effort on our part. I'll get to that in just a moment, Lord willing. But why? For the Lord is a great God. Are you thankful for that this morning? Are you thankful that as we come into the presence of God, that He is a great God, is what David said. And I wouldn't dare try to improve on the Word of God, but I think if I was expressing that, I would say, He is the great God, for there is no other gods before Him. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He is in full authority. He just goes on, in His hand are the deep places of the earth. When you think that you're at the lowest that you possibly can go, you're in His hand. When you're at the highest that you think you possibly can go, you're in His hand. The one thing that is constant throughout our lives is this, we're in His hand. Remember the song we used to sing as children? He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister. He's got the whole world in His hands. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? She said, there's another reason to be thankful right there. He holds us in His hands. There's something about giving thanks unto the Lord, it begins to widen our perspective. What is the phrase that we hear so many times now? Tunnel vision. We have tunnel vision. That is, we can't see anything outside of that space where our eyes are pointed. But as we begin to thank Him, as we begin to praise Him, as we begin to sing unto Him, that vision begins to broaden. And more things are brought into view, that we can see that the Lord has blessed us far beyond anything that tunnel vision would ever show us. Sometimes because of our situations in life, we get the tunnel vision. It begins to close in, to close in, to close in, to close in, until sometimes all we can see is the mirror of ourselves. And what a sad time that is. So David says it again in verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship. Come, let us worship." The scripture that I used a couple of Sundays ago, I guess it was, Revelation 22, and I think verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come to do what? Come and worship Him. Come and praise Him. Let him that heareth say, come. Come and worship. Come and praise. And let him that is athirst come. Come and worship. Are you thirsty this morning? Is there something that's missing in your life? Is there something that you're looking for? Something that you're longing for? Something that just seems like there's a great emptiness inside? Can I tell you that when you start filling it with praise, those holes begin to fill up. Those holes begin to go away. They begin to grow together. They begin to mend. And all of a sudden, the things that we feel like that we were empty of, we're filled with God. We're filled with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that's when you make a joyful noise. And yes, I am excited about it this morning. And I hope it's coming across as a joyful noise that this is what the Lord has done for me. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us kneel before Him. Let us humble ourselves. For you see, it's nothing that I've done that's brought any blessing upon me whatsoever. For He is our God. Can you make that statement this morning? He is my God. Be careful when you make that statement. Because when you make that statement, you're saying He has full authority in my life. He's the one that I look to. He's the one that guides me. He's the one that directs me. For you see, if my will begins to be interjected in that, then God is, in my understanding, He's moved out and suddenly my will becomes my God. He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. When God moved David to write these words, He knew that about 1,000 years later or so, there would be one who was His son who would come to this earth and He would say, I know my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me and I hold them in my hand. And no man plucks them out of my hand. My Father, who's greater than I, holds them in His hands. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And yet 1,000 years before that, David wrote, we are His sheep, the sheep of His hand. Isn't God perfect in the way that He put together His Word? Isn't God wonderful the way that He verifies in the New Testament what He said in the Old Testament? Don't throw away the Old Testament. We need the Old Testament, for the Old Testament points us toward Jesus. The Old Testament shows us that the Messiah is coming. The New Testament tells us He has come and He has redeemed His people. So today, David wrote it, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago now, maybe? But it's still true today. Today, right now, if you'll hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden it. If you'll hear His voice, listen to Him. The children of Israel, as He goes on in verse 8, He says, as in the day of provocation, the day of temptation, what He's referring to there is when the 12 spies came back, 10 of them said, we can't take the land. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, oh, yes, we can. If God be with us, we can take the land. God says, don't harden your heart. When God says you can do it, you know what? With His help, you can do it. Today, harden not your heart. Now, we have so much for which to worship the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26. While you're turning there, I want to kind of set the stage for what I want to say in this particular passage. I heard it said more early in my ministry. Some of the older preachers I would hear use this example. They would hear somebody say, well, you know, I just didn't get anything out of the service today. And the response that was given was this: did you bring a basket to put it in? And that's only half true. It's not just a matter of bringing a basket. Let me read it and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Let me say this. The basket that we bring is our bodies, ourselves, our hearts, our minds. But we're not to bring an empty basket. Worship is not about what I get. Worship is about what I give. Worship is not how it makes me feel. But when I worship Him, when I sing unto Him, when I praise Him, I guarantee you He will draw you into His presence. And you can't be in the presence of God without feeling better. You just can't do it. It's going to happen every time that you're in the presence of the Lord. You're going to go away from that circumstance, from that situation, feeling better than you entered into it. So can I say something where, I don't mean this to sound selfish on my part, but don't come to church thinking I'm going to make you feel better. I don't know how to do it. Don't come to church thinking I'm going to fill you up. I don't know how to do it. But we come to church with the expectation that the Lord is going to receive what we give unto Him.
And I've already said that as we begin to thank Him, we begin to experience the blessings of His presence. Deuteronomy 26, starting with verse 1. Some of the last words that Moses said to the people of Israel before they went into the promised land. He says, "And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, what's the action there? What's it based on? You say, well, when they come into the land. But not, what's the basis for that? God gives you. Don't ever leave God out of the formula. When you come into the land, there is something that automatically should take place. When you come into a place where that you feel that you're in the presence of the Lord, it's because God has given it to you. God giveth to you for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth. Remember what they had eaten to this point? Manna. 6 days a week they would go out, pick it up off the ground. They would grind it and make it like a flour, and they would make bread out of it. Angel food. For 40 years they had been eating food from heaven. And now when they entered into the land, the manna ceased because there was the fullness of the land that God had promised them. He says, when you come into the land, take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. There it goes again. What God has given you, and shalt put it in a basket. We don't bring an empty basket to worship. We don't bring an empty basket to praise Him. But rather we bring the basket, our very beings, our very lives, filled with thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for us. When we enter in those doors and we prepare ourselves to begin to sing the hymns of praise, we begin to pray that God would bless. When we prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God, it should be not a basket saying, "Here I am, now fill me up," but rather it should be, "Here I am, I'm so full that I'm overflowing when I get here. I've got so much to be thankful for that I begin praising Him before I ever come through the doors. And I'm still praising when I go out the doors." If we really understood all that God has given to us, all the blessings that He's bestowed upon us, let me just put those to the side. If we understood the fullness of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, if we see ourselves as the sinners that we are and the grace of God that has washed our sins away, your basket would always be overflowing. Put it in a basket, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest. That's not me. Who is our high priest? Jesus Christ. You go unto Jesus Christ with a basket filled with the blessings that He's given to you, saying, "I'm so thankful." And you give it to the priest. And you say unto him, his worship is an action. And you say unto him, "I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God." You present it to Jesus. Jesus, who is our intercessor, takes it and presents it to the Father. And there we are in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God, worshiping Him and praising Him. You see, what I'm trying to say this morning is this. I told you a couple of years ago that I was tired of preaching sermons. I'm tired of going to church. I'm looking to see if you're going to give me those scrounged eyes that I see a lot. I'm tired of going to church and stopping here. We're not stopping here. We're entering into the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, if we're truly in the presence of the Lord, what's out there doesn't matter. And what's out there, we put it down. And what's out there, we don't look at. What's out there, we don't think about. What's out there is something that is out of the way. But we're in the presence of the Lord. And if you're ever in the presence of the Lord, nothing else matters. Nothing else has our attention. Nothing else will ever take us away from that point. In those times that we're in His presence, we're locked upon His beauty and His glory and His majesty. When you see Him for who He is, then worship, praise, thanksgiving. We bring our basket full. Go with me now to Leviticus chapter 23. Third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. I said we bring our basket. And our basket is filled with blessings. But I'm going to tell you, that's not enough. There's another element to worship besides just bringing our blessings and saying, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Leviticus chapter 23, I'm going to look at verses 10, 11, and 12. Verse 9 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, so we'll know that this is God's direction to us. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land, that's what we just read a while ago in Deuteronomy. When you come into the land, when you're at that place where you know God has blessed you. It's not necessarily a geographical location, though for them it was. For us, it's not necessarily a geographical location. It's the geography of the heart. Where is our heart in this matter? Where are we as far as seeing God for who He is? When you come into that place, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. Now, I'm going to finish reading that in just a moment, but just to bring it up. They're in the promised land. They planted crops. They've come to the time of harvest. They take the first of the wheat that they cut. The absolute first. Not second, not 5 minutes from now, not what we get tomorrow or next week. The first sheaf of the wheat that they harvest, they cut it and they bring it to the Lord. They bring it to the priest. And the priest takes that sheaf and he begins to wave it before God. You know what they're doing when they're waving it before God? You have blessed us. When we bring our blessings into the Lord, into the house of God, and we're worshiping Him, we're saying, you have blessed us, Lord. Beyond anything that we could ever imagine. It's because of who you are and what you've done for us. You have blessed us. We thank you, Lord. Now, going back into our modern, semi-modern time, if I understand it, a lot of churches have two meetings a year. One is at the beginning in the spring. Why would they have a meeting in the spring? They're planting, planting, planting. And I've always said it, farmers have as much or more faith than anybody. Because when you put it in the ground, that's all you can do. But they're planting. Why would they come together in the spring for a meeting to be together? Would it not be to say, Lord, we've done all we can do. We look to you. We ask you to bless that which we have done. Bless our planting. Bless our crops. Before that it ever begins to sprout, they would have their spring meetings. All right, they go through the growing season, come to the end in the fall. They've harvested. What did most churches do again? They had a fall meeting. What would they do at the fall meeting? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing our crops. Thank you for giving us a good harvest. This is what God is saying. He said, when you draw in the sickle and you pull out the sheaf, you first thing you do is you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. But notice what else he says. He says, to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb.
The offering of the sheaf was not complete without the offering of the lamb. Can you see where I'm going with this? When we say thank you, Lord, for our blessings, it doesn't stop with our blessings. You see, there is a he lamb that was offered. Remember John the Baptist as he was in the River Jordan baptizing? I try to picture how that must have been. But I see him baptizing and looking up, seeing someone that he had never laid eyes on before. They were first cousins according to the flesh, but as I understand it, he had never seen him before. But he saw, as it were, the crowd parting and a man walking toward him. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Just saying, thank you, Lord, for our blessings, our material blessings, quite honestly, is not complete unless we also include with that, thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that Lamb that you gave for my behalf. Thank you. Thank you. You see, that takes us completely out of the picture, except just as the recipients of the blessings of God. What is it Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said? I have planted. Apollos watered. Is that what brought the blessings? There's a third element to it. But God hath given the increase. The very best efforts that you and I can offer unto the Lord are absolutely nothing except by the offering of the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He is our perfection. And understanding that, when we come to that true understanding of what Jesus has done, now I go back and I read, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." When we've seen His blood, when we've seen His grace, when we've seen His mercy, and we've seen what He has done for us, is it asking too much for our hearts to rejoice? For our hearts to say, "I love you, Lord. I thank you." One last little story that helped drive this home to me, I think, as much as anything. It's when we were in Missouri. There was a neighborhood cat that took up residence with us. And that cat would come inside. And he would go back outside, but he would come in. And one Sunday morning, I was trying to get my message ready for the day. And the cat crawled up in my lap. And I had my Bible here, and the cat was here. And the cat wouldn't let me. Finally, I said, "Lord, would you forgive me for just a minute?" And I laid the Bible down to the side. And that cat put his paw up here. And he looked up into my eyes. And you think I'm crazy if you want to. I'll be crazy every day. And that cat was saying, "I love you and I thank you for giving me a warm place." Listen, God's creation can teach us a whole lot if we just listen to the voice of the Lord. That cat taught me what I needed to be doing with God. I need to just crawl up in His lap and say, "I love you and I thank you for who you are." That's singing unto the Lord. That's making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Can I make a suggestion that every one of us, before this day is over, that we sing unto the Lord, that we make a joyful noise to Him. If it's nothing else than closing our eyes and by faith looking up and saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. As unlovable as I am, thank you, Lord. Thank you." May we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a love that goes beyond our being able to comprehend. A love that is so deep, so incredible, and so lasting. We love you. Forgive us when we forget to show you. Forgive us when we fail to tell you. May there not a day go by without us stopping to say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." For Christ's sake, and amen. As we stand and sing this morning, if God has shown you His grace, if He's given to you the understanding of His love for you, and you haven't publicly professed your love for Him, we give you the opportunity to come, let your desires be made known, that you would say, "I love you, Lord. I thank you." If you desire a church home here at the Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church, we give you the opportunity to come, present yourself for membership. The church will accept you in any manner the gospel authorizes. As we sing, Brother Danny.